wait till I get my money right.
Attention. InvestFest 2024 is coming back to Atlanta, and we at Earn Your Leisure are doing a crazy promotion. For every item you purchase on InvestFestEYL.com, we'll submit your name in a raffle to win an all-inclusive experience. To InvestFest 2024, you're automatically entered into the raffle to win this all-inclusive experience. Here's what you'll win. Round-trip airfare to Atlanta for two from Friday to Monday, or a $1,000 transportation and food stipend. One hotel room for three nights from Friday to Monday. Two VIP tickets to InvestFest. Two nightlife wristbands to all InvestFest Entertainment Network events. And black car service to and from Atlanta Airport. This offer runs until the end of June. Get your merch at InvestFestEYL.com and have a chance to win the grand prize. See you at InvestFest 2024.
Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining. And in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances. It's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's monarchmoney.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your business should not be driven just by online marketing. You know, marketing changed. And so because marketing changed, Facebook changed all of that after the pandemic. And, you know, Facebook ads started to go up. So your customer acquisition went up. And basically customer acquisition means how much you pay for to acquire each customer. So how much you pay for that customer to purchase your product. So now it's more expensive. Now you're just like going out there saying, it's her that she wants my product. Is it her? So it costs more. So basically they came up with a concept.
All right, guys. Welcome back. EYL. We back home.
Legendary.
Yes. So
legendary EYL.
The legendary. I'm
for
sorry.
Sure.
I think we should
sure.
go with that going forward.
So, you know, one of the things that we really wanted to highlight this year was to highlight more women entrepreneurs in the space that's killing it, especially when you look at Black women. There was a study that Black women are the leaders as far as the most entrepreneurs as far as percentage-wise that's starting businesses in America. So obviously, that means that there's a lot of stories to be told and a lot of information to be provided from a variety of different areas that might not be traditionally highlighted in traditional business or when men just talk about business. So the hair industry is something that's extremely important. Billions of dollars from all areas, from, you know, hair care products to doing hair to everything, you name it. So we have an entrepreneur in the space, Tiffany Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you. For
Tiffany Dean's here.
Yes.
The energy is at
Thank
a billion.
You for having me.
Yes. CEO of Hollywood Hair Bar.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your journey. We're going to talk about what you used to do, your background, your journey, how you created a seven-figure business for yourself, hair care products.
Yeah.
Variety of different things. I think that a lot of people will find benefit in this episode, not just women, anybody who's an entrepreneur who's looking to, you know, figure things out. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. What an honor. I feel very honored. I've watched you for years and I just feel like this is such a pinch me moment that I'm really sitting here about to tell my story. So this is an honor.
So you said something very interesting before we started. You said for years you've been highlighting people's stories, but you never got to tell your own.
Yes.
So I'm excited for you to tell your own.
Me too.
This is the day.
Yes, this is the day. I was coming over here like, this is special. Like, this is a special day.
Today's the day.
I'm just happy to do it with you guys. You know, this is really, really
awesome. Appreciate that. So let's get into it. So, all right, you're from LA.
Yes, born and raised.
You start as a celebrity stylist.
Yes, celebrity fashion stylist.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then from there, your daughter has an unfortunate event where she starts to lose her hair.
Yes. So I had a baby and she had eczema. She was like 5 weeks old. So, you know, us women, when we have a baby, we're just praying on that hair. You know, we want the baby to have the most hair. You know, we're obsessed with hair even before the baby's born, as most Black moms. And so my baby came out with the most beautiful hair. Oh, it was just absolutely beautiful. Her dad has fabulous hair. And so in a nutshell, she had an eczema breakout and her hair fell out. And I, as a young mom, felt like a failure. I didn't know what to do, you know, because my baby was a cute baby. And I felt like I always had to cover her hair with hats. And it was just a thing. It really, really messed with my self-esteem because my baby's hair fell out in the front. And so I went on a quest. And that's when I started on my quest to really find hair care products that could work, that would work on your baby all the way up until, you know, me, that were all natural. And there was nothing on the market. And that's when I started my journey on trying to figure out what I could do in the future. At that time, I was a celebrity fashion stylist. I worked as a celebrity fashion stylist from the age of 18 years old. And I was a real deal stylist. You know how we have these.
Not pretend.
Not the Instagram stylist, but the real deal stylist. So my mom actually and my dad, I grew up in an entrepreneurial household. My mom is a celebrity fashion designer. And my dad ran the business side of the business. So my mom actually worked with all the legends from Madonna, you know, Oprah Winfrey, just everyone
She was their stylist?
Yes. She actually is a fashion designer. Yes. Her name is Angela Dean of Dean Design.
Amazing
fashion designer. I don't know if you guys remember that cover of Essence magazine with all the women on it, Jada, Queen Latifah, Loretta Devine, and they all had on the beautiful colors.
Yeah.
My mother designed that.
This is the big leagues.
Yes. Madonna's bullet bra. My mother designed that. Yes. Before Jean-Paul Gaultier. And, you know, he took her design. So, you know, we talk about things like that. And so I've known about the things about business and the insides and the outs and, you know, that type of thing since I was a young girl. My mom and dad were the first Black-owned boutique owners on Melrose Boulevard in the 80s. So I literally grew up walking up and down Melrose Boulevard. And I really grew up in the entertainment industry. So, you know, the world of like lights, camera, action, that type of thing is my world. The hair was never my world, but that was my world because I loved hair. Every Black girl loves hair. We all feel like we're hairstylists. You know, you talk to any Black girl. She's like, nope, you're going to use this product. Do this, do that. So in a nutshell, I always had a love for hair. My grandmother gave me she was like the kitchen, you know, the kitchen beautician type thing. So I would have my grandmother press my hair and that was my thing when I was younger and that was our thing together. So beauty was always something that I loved and beauty and fashion kind of go hand in hand. But it's just very weird. And, you know, I have a lot of haters in my styling world because they're like, how's she going beauty and do that? Like, how did she do that? She's from our world. But I feel like beauty and fashion all kind of go hand in hand. But yes, go to back to your question. Born and raised in California, Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, West Hollywood, Beverly Hills. That was my spot. I went to Hamilton High School with all the stars. We all grew up together, from Omari, Ty Dolla $ign, Nipsey Hussle. I actually was Nipsey's first stylist. I did Hustle in the House music video.
Okay.
Yes. I was the one that did like his first like marathon and first started, you know, with the Crenshaw t-shirts. Yeah. And so we did, you know, he came to me and was like, I want you to do me a t-shirt and put a 6-0. Just 6-0. And oh my God, we went and got that custom t-shirt done, and it was just like history from there. But yes, I was his first stylist. I did all of the first music videos, first photo shoots and all of that. Me and him was very, 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 very close. Very, very close.
This is interesting. So when you're starting out as a stylist, because this is an easy at 18, mm-hmm. are you leveraging the relationships that you saw growing up from your mom, or are you creating your own relationships?
Good question. I'm so glad you asked that. Because, you know, everybody says, oh, well, her mom, her mom,
right,
her mom.
Right, right.
So yeah, of course, my mom and dad, they put me on, of course, like any parents would, right? But I really went into the industry. They got me with my first styling agency, the Crystal Wright Agency. She was the Black agent back in the day and gave me an opportunity. There was a lot of big time agencies back in the day that wouldn't give Black girls, you know, the opportunity to be a stylist on their roster. But she gave me an opportunity because she did know my mom and knew me from being young. But I killed it after that. You know, she gave me the opportunity. And then I went into the world of just styling and really building my own name for myself. I did work with my mom definitely and helping her and, you know, styling her stuff. But I definitely went out and made a name for myself.
Who's the first big client that you got?
Oh, my goodness. Tyrese. Tyrese Gibson back in that time. Tyrese, I've worked with everybody, though. I've worked with Queen Latifah. Tyrese Gibson, of course. Who else? Oh, God, I always get tongue-tied. Angela Bassett, Tyler Perry, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan. You know, so a lot of people. Brandy, I grew up with Brandy on the Moesha show. So I'm like a real deal, real Hollywood girl, you know? Okay. Grew up under Misa Hylton Brim. Misa Hylton, I love you, Misa. I'm going to send this to you, Misa.
Shout out to 914.
Yes. Misa was my mentor. When I met Misa, she worked with my mom when I was younger. I met Misa at 12 years old. When I saw Misa for the first time, I was like, oh my God, I just want to grow up and be like her. You know, like she was just my everything. Misa is the bomb. So yeah, I really was under like a lot of big ones, you know, so I really.
So how do stylists make money? Because.
Oh, that's a good question.
Is it like retainer? Somebody, all right, so you work with Tyrese, right?
Yep.
And he pays you $2,000 a month, or does the record label pay you, or does he pay you like, I just need an outfit for this, so I'm gonna mm-hmm. pay you just for this?
Right.
How does that work?
So that basically is a little bit of all of what you're saying, but it depends on how you, if you're a freelance stylist or if you work under an agency. So if you work under an agency, everything should go under your agency. And so your agency will either give you a retainer if that's something that you work out, or you work per job. A lot of times the production will pay for the job, you know, so whatever they're working for, it's not a lot of times the celebrity. So if they're with a record company, if they do like a photo shoot or they do something, it's normally whoever is putting on that shoot that's paying for it. But then a lot of times, you know, nowadays with social media, the celebrities are paying for a lot themselves because they want to, you know, just be fly in their regular life. But I retired from styling 5 years ago, and I'm so thankful that I did, because I feel like now with social media, are they really getting paid? I mean, the top ones are when you're working for stars and, you know, you're working for different things. But a lot of people, and everybody wants a favor now. They want something for a post, or, you know, it's like, come on, we got to make some money out here. Mm-hmm. So I really dipped at the right time. But during my entire career, from 18 years old, I worked under really big stylists as well, you know, and I really learned the ropes. Stacey Young, Timothy Snell, I worked under really, really big stylists at the time, Susan Moses. And from there, they really taught me, you know, at a certain age, they were just like, I don't want to do this anymore. So when I went in at 18, I said, by the time I'm 30, I know I'm gonna probably be over this, you know, and I need something else that I need to go into, like a business. So what is that gonna be? So I was continuously thinking of what I wanted to do. And everybody does fashion, you know, and then you have Fashion Nova, and then you have all these other fashion brands and all that. So I was like, you know what? Fashion is not what I want to do. And I, of course, saw the craze of lace front wigs on our women. Lord, Lord, Lord. And yeah. And I'm not hating on the lace front.
I'm not hating on lace fronts.
Epidemic.
I'm just not a fan of lace fronts.
I'm not a fan
either. I'm not personally.
Exactly. Because, you know, this is the thing. We need to understand that these stylists are out here doing things that are really not cool. A lace front wig is something that was created for the Hollywood world, for a movie, for a Black woman to have consistency and continuity with her hair. That's what it was for.
Okay.
The stylist took it and now we're wearing them to bed. We're wearing them, you know, for a month. We're, you know, we're wearing them too much. We're wearing them only wearing them. So it's like it's gotten overwhelmingly just a lot. And a lot of the women don't know what they're doing. So a lot of women have no edges or their hair yeah. is totally bald or they're just continuously covering and covering. And we have like it's like an epidemic at this point with our women. And no one's really talking about it because everyone's very embarrassed about it. You know, a lot of the women, they just cover, you know, cover and go.
Yeah.
And so my whole motto with Hollywood Hair Bar is, you know, why cover the problem when you can fix it? Because you can fix it. A lot of women are told that they cannot. And so with the right products and the right ingredients and the right things, you can grow your hair. And so that's basically what I've done. And we have helped over 1 million women at this point. So I'm really excited.
So you made the pivot though, because that's not easy.
No,
right? Like you've done something, you've watched your mom do something.
Yes.
In fashion, but you make the pivot. But you said that you grew up in an entrepreneurial household
every day.
So what kind of lessons did you see that made you feel sufficient and comfortable to make that pivot?
Right. So I would say, going through the industry and really seeing that it wasn't built for me to win. That I was basically creating a brand for every single artist that I worked for. You know, I worked with Jeremiah. I worked with French Montana. I've worked with some really big names, right? For 20 years, like for real, that was my bread and butter. I made money. I made good money. One of the top stylists in Los Angeles, really made a name for myself. But I knew that that could only take me so far. It's like they're able to, you know, the stars that we're working with, they're able to go and retire on what we've created for them. So what is left for us, the people that are on the other side of the camera, what does our future look like? Because we're creatives as well. And so for me, I always, you know, the branding and coming out with brands and things of that sort, I've been doing that since a young girl. So it was not like the first brand I came out with. Mm-hmm. I had a t-shirt line, a really cute handbag line, and everything that I did when I was younger. I mean, I made it in Cosmo, you know, Glamour magazine. Like I really would always take it to the hilt. But then a celebrity would call or, you know, I'd have to go back and really do my real job, which was styling. And that takes so much of your time and effort. So I was basically, I would say that my last show that I did, right before the last show that I did, I was watching this video of Dame Dash. And he was talking, and you know, we all love Dame Dash. And he was just dropping so much knowledge. And I was like, dang, I was sitting with somebody. And I said, dang, if I could get under Dame Dash, I would be a beast. Even though I was already a beast. I said, I would be a beast, like a for real beast. 2 weeks later, I get a call for a show with Dame Dash. I'm like, oh my God, they called me. They said Dame Dash is one of the hosts. So I did a show called The Next Big Thing. It was like a music competition show on BET.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Dame Dash, Zaytoven, and Tina Davis were the judges. And so I was with Dame Dash for the next 8 weeks. And we became super cool. I love Dame. And I actually just ran into him in the airport and told my story. He was like, what? He couldn't believe it. He was so excited, so happy for me. But I told him, I said, you gave me a lot of knowledge during that show. You didn't even know it. Yeah. You was dropping knowledge on all those young kids. But really, I was sitting there soaking it up as well. And one of the things that stood out to me was, he said, he was talking to the kids. He was like, what did Lil Wayne do? How did Lil Wayne just blow, blow, blow? You know what Lil Wayne did? He said, Lil Wayne flooded the internet. He flooded everything. And that stuck with me. And I was like, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. And we'll get to that next when you ask me that question, but that's what I did. But I did it organically. And that was the secret to my sauce. So, I didn't do it through paying for it.
So just, yeah, let's lead into that.
Yeah, let's go into that. Okay, so basically in a nutshell, when I came out with Hollywood Hair Bar, I was sitting on that show and soaking up all the knowledge and literally sitting there with my laptop on my downtime making my, you know, my logo, creating my website, those types of things. I really had learned. There was an amazing family friend I have, and she's a really amazing online marketer. Her name is Nicole Cooper. She told me a long time ago, she said, Tiffany, if you want to work, make it on the internet, you need to learn how to do everything yourself first. Learn how to do your logo. Learn how to do your website. Learn how to market. Learn how to, all the things that you need so that you can then, you know, once you do better and you can hire people, you can know how to manage them properly. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And so I learned how to do everything. And so because I'm a creator and a creative and a brander and a brand, you know, that's really what I do. I was able to get on different tools and really learn. So I made everything. So I sat there, made all my stuff. And that's the reason why they say my intellectual properties are worth so much, because I literally am behind every single thing in the brand, right? Mm-hmm. Not just the product, but the logo, the color, the, you know, the marketing, the way we talk to the customer, all of that. So in a nutshell, when I launched, I basically went into engagement share groups. At the time, I don't know if you know, but like, you know, the share for share type thing. And this was like in 2018. I got into an engagement share group that basically I've been around for 10 years. And they basically would drop on this group chat called Kik. I think it's called Kik or Kike, K-I-K. And it's like, we can have a group and you can have up to 50 people in the group and you can have all these different rooms. And so they would break you off on the rooms depending on how many followers you had. And then when they say drop, you drop, and you would drop in your, basically your ad, your picture and your, you know, your comment, your post, whatever. They would post it and you would post theirs, and it would stay on their page for an hour, 2 hours maybe. And you would do this all day long. And I became a nut, a fanatical with it. And I was making money. I mean, the first month I made like $50,000. And I was like, oh my God, I made $50,000 in 1 month? This is something, right?
What was the product?
This was the hair growth serum.
The hair, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. So I knew how to talk to the consumer. You know, I knew how to basically ask them an open-ended question in my comment section, you know, in the area where you have your what is it called? Oh my God, I'm losing my thought. You know, on the comments, post,
comment
section.
Yeah, I guess your comment. Well, not your comment section, but your caption. Your caption.
Oh, caption. Okay, got you.
Yes. So in the caption, I would tell them, like, I knew how to get to the woman's psyche, a Black woman's psyche, because I am a Black woman and I know what we want, right? I asked them, do you want to grow your hair? Do you want to grow you or your daughter's hair? So I knew exactly what to ask them. And then I would say, comment me below. They would comment me below, and then I would go in and I would say, check your DM. Then I would sell my butt off in the DM and be like, this is what we do. Da, 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 da. These are how many reviews we have. This is the ingredients. This is how fast it's going to work. Because we have a product that works in 7 to 14 days. You're going to grow your hair regardless. Alopecia, you know, you're going to see a little fuzz. You're going to see something in 7 to 14 days, which is kind of unheard of with an all natural product. So I was the one that came to the game with that. And, you know, everyone now, they try to say 7 to 14 days. But that was something that we came with. No one had ever said that before. So the people were blown away. And I was able to show them women with long hair, Black women with long hair. So I got to the psyche of the women and they bought into it. That's, they bought into it like this in the beginning, like they did.
Yeah.
Then we continued that. I did that for about 15 months. About 12 months in, I started getting calls from a marketing agency. I'm like, marketing agency, I believe in $0 for marketing. I'm making $50,000 because I was like consistently, you know, and I had about $100,000 to my website every month. And this is just for no money, right? Not having to pay for anything. So I thought I was doing well. They consistently bombarded me to a certain extent. And then once I found out who they were, I was like, okay, I'm going to give them a try. We started in, and I never forget this day. They were like, okay, so you're going to start, you have to pay us $5,000 a month. And I was like, you know, when you start making money, you're like, $5,000. I mean, $5,000 a month? Okay,
to get into the group.
Yeah, no. This is to actually be with the big time marketing agency now. Okay. So yeah. Now let's say you're 15 months in, you're making $50,000 a month, you're just feeling like you're cool for
you
free.
Leave the DMs,
you know?
Now you're leaving the DMs.
Now you're leaving the DMs. Now you're leaving dealing with people directly. Now you're onto the bigger, you know, social media marketing agency that now they can run ads on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Snapchat and all these things, you know? So I'm like, okay. So they're like, $5,000 a month. I'm like, okay, fine. So then they said, and I said, and then what, I have to pay for the ads? They're like, yeah, you have to pay. So like, well, how much is that? So they said, like, I thought I was going to do $250 a day. Now this was my thought. I'm going to give y'all $250 a day.
This is Facebook ads?
Yeah. Facebook ads. $250 a day. And then I'm going to make $500. Then I'll do $250 a day every day. You know what I mean? $250 a day every day. No, that wasn't what it was. He was like, you know what? You're going to have to just give us free reign to just spend the money. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, okay, well, how much are you going to spend? Like maybe $1,500 a day, maybe $2,000. We have to figure it out. We have to test first. We have to do all this. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I put it in God's hands. And I'm like, well, you know, you've come this far. So I think you've done everything right. What I did was I did everything right because I studied for 10 years. I studied from 2008 to 2018 on online marketing, the things to do, right? Mm-hmm. So when I came out with the website, I had my pixel set up. So my pixel was capturing all of that free organic, you know, traffic that I was having that came to the site. So that was like golden. That's the step that everybody skips. You got to put in the work. You can't just put Facebook ads and think that like that's going to blow you up the way I blew up. No. The reason why we had such success is because I really put in the work. I was doing those shares from 5 a.m. to freaking 12 a.m. every day for 15 months. And I put in the work. So by the time we got to the ads, they had all of the data that they needed to get to my customer. So at that point, it was like I went from making $50,000 a month to the first month with the ad agency, we did $1 million.
So then, hell of a return.
Yeah, exactly, right? Then every month consistently after that, we did $2 million. Then our peak was $3.4 million, which is so funny that I didn't even know that. I just found that out a few weeks ago when I was looking through my own data. Because, you know, when the numbers get so high, you just be like, but basically, I was shocked to know that we did 3.4 in a month. But basically, we did that consistently for 2 years. We did at least $2 million a month for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that was during the entire pandemic. That was during, you know, all the time people online. So we were able to build up a really amazing, like, tribe of women, you know,
yeah,
that really loved the product and loved the fact that there was a Black woman behind it, the fact that I own it 100%, because they couldn't believe that. In the beginning, it was hell on wheels. You know, our women, we like, y'all, she a scam. She did. And so there's a lot of stuff still out there online today that's still living from those days. But basically, in a nutshell, we had some things that we went through. I went through a fulfillment house situation where they were shipping all my orders backwards. So as soon as we got to the $1 million months, I'm like, okay, I need a fulfillment house. My house is filled. Everything's filled. I have everybody working. I mean, it's just got it out of hand. I'm like, I need a fulfillment house. So we got the fulfillment house and they basically started shipping all my orders backwards. So if we were 2 weeks behind at that point, it was, so they screwed up all my stuff for a good 6 to 8 weeks. So a lot of the trolls then had to say, yeah, and she ain't shipping it right. And, you know, so it got really, really crazy. I really was taken over by how much hate is online. I mean, it's crazy, right? So yeah. I knew because I've dealt with celebrities. I grew up in that world. I knew. So I was like, not reading any of this. I'm not responding. Nobody will ever hear me respond on the trolls and this and that. So at this point, now you start seeing the comments change. Now you start seeing people, oh my God, I love this product. It's yeah. working. This is my these are my reviews. I mean, you know, these are my before and after
pictures. Can we go there for a sec? Because the marketing, that's one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing works without the product.
Boom.
Right. And so I saw you had this quote. You said sometimes the right CEO with the right product makes for the perfect formula.
Yes.
So let's talk about the process of you getting the product.
Yes.
Right? Because
yes.
that's not easy. To have something no. that's all natural, to have exactly. something, and even when you pose the question, do you want your hair to grow, right? That's triggering for a lot of people, right?
Come on now.
It's Thank like, you. Of course I want my hair
yes.
to grow. Of course I want to.
Yes.
So what was the process of you actually creating this product? I'm sure there were scientists and labs and all, right? You come from a background in fashion and beauty. Yes. Mm-hmm. So how did this come about, the actual product?
Well, I have an angel that is the woman behind the secret sauce that works with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically came up with this phenomenal, like basically you have a manufacturer. So in the world of beauty products, you go to a manufacturer, right?
Okay.
To formulate the product for you. Okay. You say, this is what I want it to be in the end. And so they go back and they do their magic and they come to you with samples and this, that, and the third. I didn't do that. I went backwards. So I had a woman that I was dealing with that I met online that had this amazing product that she was basically, that she had. And so she reached out to me. Somehow we met each other online. She shared with me about this phenomenal product that she had. And I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? She's like, yeah. And I can work with you because I think you got it. She was like, I'm on your website. I mean, on your social media page, you're, you know, a celebrity fashion stylist. If you want to do a business, this is a great business to get into. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea, girl. I sat on Hollywood Hair Bar for 5 years. The concept, the idea, the everything. And she would call me every about another year. Girl, I done made $1 million now. And she's just selling it, whatever, you know, just selling it to her people. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, just online through her website or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God. So I continued to work with her and formulate other things and work on the serum. But the serum, I literally, God sent me an angel. I'm her angel and she's my angel. So I have an amazing manufacturer that's a Black woman. So that makes a big difference than, you know, going to a different type of, you know, manufacturing plant that just make a product. And that's the difference why our product is so good and why it works compared to all the things that are on the shelf in the store or even things that sell online, is because we have a woman that is a Black woman that understands exactly what we need. And I also am that woman as well. So we basically, she formulated the serum, and then me and her formulated everything else.
How'd you come with the name?
So Hollywood Hair Bar, of course, Hollywood is me. I'm from Hollywood, California. And because Hollywood is so indebted in me, I wanted to use the word Hollywood because I knew that it would pop all over. And one of our top spots is Brooklyn, New York, and New York. And, you know, the East Coast, like the East Coast, y'all love Hollywood Hair Bar like so much. I'm like, oh my God, like I definitely need, I feel like I need a store out here. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. But basically, the Hollywood name I knew would resonate all over the world. And it would resonate from who I was because, you know, celebrity stars, that whole thing. And then Hair Bar was like, you know, come to the hair bar. Let me give you some, you know, like, let me help you get some inches. Let me help you grow your hair. So the concept of the Hollywood Hair Bar, the women just ate it up. They ate it up, and they eat it up all over the world. I mean, we sell everywhere, Africa, Canada, you know, the UK, Switzerland, Netherlands. Oh my God, everywhere. And so that name really rung well. But like I said, I'm a brander.
So the Hollywood Hair Bar, most people would assume that's a brick and mortar hair salon.
Yes. So we are going to have hair growth. So because we are a COVID baby, you know, we're a COVID birth business, we came out with it at that time, but COVID came. So I'm coming with it now, and I'm basically releasing a hair growth bar. So like basically Hollywood Hair Bar, hair growth salon, where you can come and get different treatments to grow your hair.
A brick and mortar?
Yes.
In LA?
Yes.
So, all right. So let's unpack this a little bit. So you come up with the product.
Yes.
And then you, how many followers did you have on social media at this time?
Good question. So Hollywood Hair Bar's page, I was able to build it up to, I started with like 60,000. You know, when we like once I really was going in with Hollywood Hair Bar, you know, I started as a hair page. Mm-hmm. It was called, of course, called Hollywood Hair Bar. But before the product was launched, I was able to build it up just with Black women wanting to see and love long hair, you know?
So you just started as like a lookbook page?
Yes.
Off of your own page?
Or no, you just, I started a new page.
But you didn't, nobody knew that you was behind it?
Exactly, no. And that's the other thing. I was, you know, I come from the entertainment industry. I have not asked one star, not one celebrity, to do a post for me, to do anything for me. I just was like, I don't want to ask them for anything. I want them to look at me and see me as their equal. And when they see my brand, say, oh my God, I'm so proud of her. You know, how can I help? Or how can I post something for you now? So basically, I didn't start with any celebrities, any influencers, just literally with my core knowledge of knowing what the people want to see. So what I did well as a celebrity fashion stylist was to give the people what they want to see. So I created images, right? So within creating those images and those looks, you give people something to aspire to look like. Mm-hmm. And so I took that same concept and put it in a beauty brand, basically. And so I made the product poppy and pretty and, you know, like candy, to where the women just, they want it. You know, they sit it on their bathrooms and they're like, this is actually the decoration. You know, they love it. It's very, very beautiful, poppy. And I wanted to really market something to the Black woman in the hair care world that was bomb.
Did you have the product before you started the page, or you had the page before you started the product?
I've always known about the product, so I knew what I was doing. Yes, okay. So I did it intention.
When did you launch? I'm asking you this because we actually had a similar situation. We had a page called Fashion Wave.
Okay.
Before we had the idea for Earn Your Leisure, the original idea was that it was a lookbook page.
Wow, yes.
We actually grew it to like 12,000 followers. It didn't take off the way we wanted it.
Yeah.
But that was the idea, was to grow the page and then get the page to the point where it had 100,000 million followers. And then we were going to have small businesses like advertise on it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That was the idea behind it.
Yes. But
So you build it and they will come strategy. You build the lookbook first, not selling anything.
Right.
Just building an organic following and a community.
Mm-hmm.
And at what point
do you feel like it's time?
Yes.
Right. So I just really had the, on social media, you really got to have some kind of secret sauce to get your page popping. You know, you really do. You have to know what the people want to see. Mm-hmm. You have to know what they want to hear. Because I am a, and this is funny, but you know, we have influencers now, right?
True.
Social media influencers. But the stylists, celebrity hair stylists, makeup, we were the original influencers before social media. You know what I mean? The one that you would say, okay, you got to do this, that, that. This was going to make you pop, or, you know. So we really have the juice if we all, like the back in the day ones, you know, like me that's been around for forever, the real ones, if we just put our expertise to the table with social media, because we're like little mini producers walking around here, you know, because we are real in the industry, worked on, you know, all the sets and all those things. So if you have the eye, a lot of times it has to be that eye, you know, to know what's gonna pop. Like, I know what to post to make those women go crazy, but that's just something I know. You know what I mean? And that's why I think that they have social media influencers and content creators and people that really specialize in that.
Yeah. So one of the most important things, especially in our community, is trust.
Yes.
And nothing more important than Black women and their hair.
Come on.
Is putting a product in
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And so I know one of the things you're keen on is the amount of reviews you had.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's over 60,000 reviews now.
Yes, over 60,000 five-star.
Five-star reviews. Let's be very clear about this. Very clear about this. So,
and they're all real, by the way.
So in the beginning, I mean, how are you getting this product into people's hands first? Is it like a trial?
Good question.
And, you know, the initial thing is like, we got to put this thing to work. Let's see what the feedback is. Let's take us through that.
Okay. So basically, I launched right after, and I don't even want to say my competitor, but I love you, girl. I launched right after Miracle Drops, right? She launched maybe a few years prior than me. And I, like I said, I already had that idea in my head of what I wanted to do with Hollywood Hair Bar. I was sitting on the idea for like 5 years. And so when I saw her and I saw the success that she had, it also gave me drive. Like, oh my gosh, look at the success she had. I could do it. If she could do it, I could do it too. So it took me into that realm of like, okay, what should I do? Or how should I do this? And I wanted to make sure to have a product that was popping. So at that time, Hair Growth Serum was popping because her product was a huge product that was popping. So it's like going with the times, you know, like with reality TV, you know what I mean? You have to have a certain type of show. Now these shows are popping. Now we turn in. Now we go into this type of vibe. So it was the same type of thing with women in our products as Black women. You know, we go through our phases. We go through the lace front. Then we go through the wig. Then we go through the weaves. Then we go through the braids. So it was a phase at that time that was hair growth serums that are going to grow your hair. So because I picked up on it and I came at it with the right time, I was able to get into the psyche, like I said, of the woman's head. It was all about the videos of the Black women with long hair and getting into those groups that had the pages that were filled with Black consumers that liked to buy off of Instagram pages. You know how back in the day we had those Instagram pages and they're like, oh, you could buy this or the Yoni Pearls or the, you know, those type of pages that sell things. Mm-hmm. Those were those pages. So they had 200,000, 400,000, 500,000 followers on those pages that all trusted the things that they would post. So my like network that I was blessed enough. Thank you, April. That my girl April, she got me in these groups. She had a brand as well. And basically I was blessed enough to be privied into the groups.
Yeah.
And it was like I was privied into my entire demographic of women that were already sitting on these pages waiting to buy the next thing. So really everybody wants to buy something that they feel like is different and is not saturated as well in the market. So because, you know, another product was big, they're like, okay, let's try this one now. So they really trusted me and tried it. And I put this review tracker on my website. Luke's is the company, L-O-O-X. And Luke's was a review tracker that basically would email them, you know, say you want to give a review, then you would give the review, but the review would pop up on the website. So I basically optimized my site and I did the whole thing in the beginning, you know, with the success and everything. We didn't even change the website until like maybe a year or two ago. But I basically optimized it. So it was all about thinking about all of the steps that a woman would go through on a website to purchase something, making sure that she converted. Another thing was like making sure that the website was geared. It's like you want to babysit them to the sale. You know, you don't want to have too many whistles and bells a lot of times on your website, videos and a lot of things, especially in the beginning, because it takes them off of their concept of just buying and going. You want them to be in, out, a quick and easy transaction. Go on, look at your stuff and purchase. So a lot of times when you put too much, they get sidetracked. So the review tracker thing was the perfect thing. It was just that one thing that was there and it would pop up on any product that they went on and then they would click. And so the wonderful thing about it is the product really worked. So the reviews flooded in. Like I didn't have to do anything. I've not, you know, some, a lot of people say, oh, those reviews, those, that's fake. Or you can't even believe that. It's so sad. They are all real. It's just sad that people think that because they come through, you know, they all came through Luke's and Okendo to review outlets that we have. And what's wonderful about what I did with my website too is I made sure to have two review trackers. So one was the Luke's review that would show like a woman, her picture, her review, you know, at the bottom. She would give it a 5-star or whatever stars. And then there was another one that I had that was like a survey. And so I have like over 30,000 women that have just like taken a survey.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right. We're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shadi, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys.
So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the home buying blueprint, volume 1 and volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Like how old they are, how fast it worked, you know, how, what do they feel about it? And so those are things that work when you go to like now the next level that I'm at, big box stores and, you know, going into retail and that type of thing. It's like really making a big difference because no one comes with that. I sit in these meetings, you know, big box and our distributors, and I'm doing some really big things with all of the stores at this point. And they sit there in awe. They're in shock. They can't even believe. They're like, how did you, like, because at this point, our revenue is about $45 million over the last, let's say, 3 to 4 years, you know, because like the first year we did $1 million.
Congrats.
I mean, thank you. Thank you. And so to be able to do something like that with no bank loan, I did most of it not even with a credit card, you know, like we got our Amex, you know, thank you, American Express, love you. But that is not heard of. As a Black woman. And everyone said, like, why didn't you take money? Why didn't you, you know, you're supposed to use other people's money to make money. And I'm like, you know why? Because I wanted to show the next little young Black girl that she could do it with nobody's money. That's why. Mm. Like, I really wanted to have that story to where the next young Black entrepreneur, girl, woman, boy, whatever, could say, wow, she made $45 million without taking a dime from anybody else. I don't have to have perfect credit. I don't have to go and beg somebody for help. I can just lace my bootstraps up and I can go out there and I can go get it too.
So let's go back to the social media thing.
Yes.
You started selling at what point?
I started selling, actually, it's almost our 5th year anniversary, and I am celebrating it with you guys. September 16th, 2018 is when we started posting and started in the groups.
How many followers did you have?
I had about 60,000 at that point.
And took how long until you get 60,000?
About a year.
So you did a year of, because a lot of times people try to sell too early. This is the point that I'm trying to make. It's very important.
Come on.
And like you just started an Instagram page and you already doing 50% off Black Friday sales with 500 followers.
Thank
you. You did a year with no, even though you already had the plan to sell, you set on a product for a year.
Yes.
And just built organically.
Mm-hmm. Built organically.
Post every day.
Mm-hmm.
And just
viral stuff. Viral. You always, the concept, in my opinion, to social media is viral. If it ain't viral, don't post.
So, and just building that trust, building the community.
Yep.
And then when it was time, a year later, you got 60,000 followers and you decided to drop the product.
Yes.
How did you roll out the product when you first rolled it out?
Oh my gosh. So ghetto. Oh my God. Like not ghetto, but you know, we do what we got to do. I didn't even have labels on my bottles. I didn't have labels. And you know what I told the women when they would come? They'd be like, there's no label on the bottle. I had these beautiful bottles. They were ombre. They went from like a blue to a beautiful cranberry. And it just blew up. You know how you just say, okay, I'm going to start posting today. You can buy it. The website's here. And they started buying it the first day.
But no person, just the product. Like, it wasn't like a person behind it.
Nope.
You just posted the product.
It. Thank and said, you.
This
yes.
Is, this is what
and
it
I
is.
I did that specifically too.
Did they know that the page was it? Or what's the page called?
Hollywood Hair Bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was branded. It wasn't like you had a different page and
right,
nobody
exactly.
knew the product.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was on the Hollywood Hair Bar page, but the secret to the sauce was the network I was in. So it wasn't just that I posted and said, buy this.
Yeah.
I posted with about 30, 40 other people posting. And so we did what's called like an organic share for share. You know, that's like something that they used to do back in
no,
the day.
No, I remember that.
And it worked.
Yeah, so their trust system. What? You like tied into it because
yes.
now you've posted it and their community already trusts everything they're doing.
There you go.
And so now you're part
yes,
of the trust.
Because they're posting all these different brands and things.
So I looked into this, which you did. I never did it.
Yeah.
But I did look into it at mm-hmm. a certain point. What we did early was, even before this page, my own personal page, mm-hmm. used to be able to like a lot of pictures.
Yep.
And then if you like pictures, then if you like 1,000 pictures, 100 people might follow you.
Because
like,
yep.
who's this person liking?
Yep.
That was an old hack.
So Instagram stopped us.
Yeah,
do that.
I think now it's like you get reported as spam uh-huh. if you like too many pictures
exactly.
at one time. But that was something. But then those groups came along
mm-hmm.
and it'd be like, yeah, you have a 100,000 followers, they have 50,000, they have 500,000 followers, then y'all all decide on one day we all gonna post this one thing today.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might get 3 million accounts that's reached.
Yes.
And then tomorrow you all post the next thing.
Exactly.
And then it's like 3 million accounts that's reached. They actually mm-hmm. even had so before verification came, I don't know how long you've been doing the Instagram thing.
A lot from the beginning.
There were like pages. Like they mm-hmm. had like the Will Ferrell page.
Uh-huh.
He had like a lot of fake pages.
Yep.
But a page, like one of the fake pages had like 700,000 followers. And they used to like promote other people's products. Like you paid them $1,000 and they'll promote your product, whatever.
Yep.
And then you get like 1,000 followers just like in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, that's before verification came. So nobody really knew what page was what page. It was just kind of all over the place.
I love those days.
So the growth, it was definitely a lot more room for growth. But then
yes.
what you had mentioned with the ads, that really got popular during the pandemic as well.
Yes, right? Exactly. And a lot of people went out and did ads, and a lot of marketing agencies have taken Black businesses and just pimp them, you know, because we didn't know any better type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, in a nutshell, it's just... it's a doggy dog world out there in that marketing world. That online marketing world is really, it's like the devil.
But by the way, that strategy can still work to this day. Like, and
yeah.
If you are an entrepreneur, influencer, and you communicate with 5 other people, it's just strength in numbers,
oh,
right?
Yes.
It's like, all right, look.
Celebrities do it all the time,
yeah.
right? But now it's like sometimes we don't believe the celebrity anymore because mm-hmm. we feel like, oh, they're getting paid or whatever.
It's oversaturated.
Oversaturated.
You got to make it look organic.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And so with us, I would post, and I'm going to tell you guys this. I did all of that with one caption. I never changed my caption. It was the same thing. Do you want to grow you or your daughter's hair? Like literally over and over and yeah. over. And then we had a viral video. So I... we had a viral video that actually went viral. That was our first ad ended up at like 40 million views or something like that. And the women went crazy over this ad. We got to, at this point, I would say overall, we've reached like over 1 billion, you know, online with our reach and our whatever, all those stats. And it's been awesome to see how much we've grown. But when you start that way, the way that I started, and not just like you say, imagine coming together and doing that once a day. Imagine coming and doing that 25 times a day like a nut.
Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. And that's why the success came like that, you know.
Another
were
way
you
to go is
for that though?
No.
Right, cuz that's the thing, right? Like you know the product is great.
Mm-hmm.
You got the trust system.
Mhm.
But these orders start coming in
mm-hmm.
and you might not be ready uh-huh. for that. You might not have the inventory, manufacturing. You didn't
exactly.
have labels.
Well, the great thing is, yes, because I have to sell my label store. But the great thing is that my manufacturer was phenomenal. We was able to work it out. And I was prepared because I come from the music and entertainment industry. So because the music entertainment industry is like literally the best hard knock life you could ever go through, especially being a celebrity fashion stylist, like I wasn't a hairstylist or a makeup. Like we had to come with truckloads of clothes and, you know, I had to drop on the dime. I've created miracles. I mean, I have done some things. So this was like kind of like a piece of cake a little bit to a certain extent compared to the things that I have pulled off, you know. But I had a merchant, my processor. You know, you have your credit card processor, right? Mm-hmm. We were doing like, I'd say like my biggest day was $164,000 a day I made. But that day was stimulus day. That was stimulus check day. But basically we would do like 80, 100, you know, that was my normal a day. And I had a processor, my merchant processor, he called me, he said, they called me on a Saturday, him and another guy. And I knew my stomach dropped when he called me on my cell phone on a Saturday. I was like, oh God, what's going on? What's wrong? And he's like, you know, I want to talk to you about your sales. We're thinking that we want to cap your credit card transactions daily at 30,000 because you're not going to be able to pull this off. And I'm like, what? I said, are you crazy? I said, I don't think you've ever met me before. I come from the music entertainment industry. That no is not an answer. That is not even an option. I'm going to get it done. Watch. He said, well, I've seen this all the time. You know, I see people blow up all the time. This is the problem with, you know, brands like this. You guys can't keep up. I said, oh, I'm going to keep up. Next thing you know, I made $45 million without any problem. And he looked at me and could not believe, because he's still my merchant processor to this day, could not believe that he didn't believe that I was going to pull it off. And, you know, I was something like what they call a unicorn is what I hear. That's what they've been calling me, a unicorn. And I've always kind of like resonated with being a unicorn because I'm a Capricorn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Capricorns are very ambitious and like we have drive that's like no other.
When's your birthday?
Christmas Day. Okay. So, you know, a lot of celebrities are Capricorns. Mary J. Blige is Capricorn. You know, yes. Yeah. A lot of Misa, she's a Capricorn. But a lot of very, you know, influential people are Capricorns. We work very hard. So the hard work was not hard for me. It was very stressful. I did have a crook, you know, on my neck for about a month because I was, you know, up to my roster and like just everything was in front of me and like everything that I wanted. And then how am I going to pull it off? But we pulled it off. And so I'm just thankful for the team that I have. I was able to build out. I mean, I have hundreds of people, you know, that work with me, but it was just a great, great thing.
So, okay. Viral. You said you had a viral.
Yes. So I had a viral video.
What was the video?
The video was a video that basically, okay, so the concept of growing your hair is, you know, you grow your hair. So everyone that showed hair growth videos just showed people with long hair. They never really showed the process or the before and after. And so we showed a video that was a before and quickly into an after, but it wasn't just a regular before and after. It was braids. So 9 times out of 10, if you see hair growth, you never see it on braids, you know? And so we had an ad that showed a woman that grew her daughter's hair in 2 seconds, you could see the results. So that video went viral because it was like you could see the before and the after within the first 3 seconds of you scrolling. You have to be able to stop that person and grab their attention so that they can pay attention to what you want them to see. Because Facebook is basically like an impulse buy. You know, it's not like Amazon. You know, Amazon is, and we're about to burn Amazon up. I'm so excited. We have a huge thing going on with Amazon right now. We've been doing very well, but we have a huge launch of our own shop right now that's happening like next week. But Amazon is a different beast. You know, people are on there. They have intent. They're a higher intent customer. They're there to shop. Facebook, they're there to hang out. They're there to talk to their friends. You have to get their attention. So we had to come with a viral, and in that video I made. And the funny thing about it is, you know, the marketing agency that I worked with, they took all of the kudos, you know, from the success of Hollywood Hair Bar. But the success really was on Hollywood Hair Bar. You know, it was on everything that I did and everything that we built and also the product as well as the videos, the everything. So I did all my own stuff. Like I said, my own ads. I did my own websites. As soon as they saw that, guess what they did? They tried to take it over. They want to do the ads now. They want to do everything. They want to talk to my customer. They want to speak to her. They want to do the emails. They want to do the SMS. And I'm like, hold up. So for about a good year and a half, I lost control of my whole business. I just got control back. because I got rid of everyone and now went in-house with every single thing. And so I can control the voice of my brand and all of that. But for a while, it was taken over by the marketing, internet marketing world. And it really is a dog-eat-dog world for us because we have to understand that we hold the juice and that we have to continue to push our brands forward, because there's a lot of us Black women, Black men in this industry, in this space that have become successful because we got the swag, we got the juice. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that we're no different than the basketball players and the actors. They're right there trying to take your, you know what I'm saying? And take it and turn it into something that they want to. So the women are very excited and very happy that I still own it 100%. And I want to keep it that way, you know, for as long as I possibly can.
When you were with the agency, you started out with one number you were paying, right? You said maybe 2,000.
I started out with like 5,000. But I ended up at 250.
A month?
A month.
So 250 a month. So you're actually paying and you're watching your brand being taken away. So like,
who does that?
Like, that's a dilemma in itself, right?
Yeah.
So what was that process like of getting it back? Like,
hell.
Are we having this team meeting, like, yeah. All right, look at the expenditures. This is way too much. Mm-hmm. How do we find the people? And who are the people? Are you finding local talent? Are you feeling like people that you've come across throughout your career?
I was able to hire, which is so amazing, you know, with the internet now. I guess a lot of brands were going through this, you know, because they say when you scale to a certain extent, which I have a lot of guru friends that I'm friends with that all have, you know, multi-million dollar brands too. And they told me a while ago, you know, you should have went in-house by now. Mm. And I'm like, I know, like basically going in-house with all of your services, like your marketing, your, you know, your fulfillment, all of these things, because once you get to a certain level and you're, you know, at a certain level of orders every month, and we were at like 60 to 100,000 orders a month, the tax on that each one is crazy. You might as well just go have your own whole, you know what I mean, facility with how much you're paying. If I was paying $250,000 a month to a marketing agency for marketing fees, what was I thinking? Like, I don't even know what I was thinking. I could have had a whole goddamn, I could have had a Google office to myself with 100 people sitting there all day with me, you know, in a boardroom telling them exactly what I wanted. So it got out of hand, and they knew it got out of hand, but it got out of hand because I felt like I was dependent on them. And so what I did was I hired now, because like I said, a lot of brands are going through this now when they get to a certain level and then they realize, oh, I got to go in-house, and not knowing how to get in-house that's at the level that can handle the type of business that you built. I was able to hire like, I guess we'll call it like a hedge hunter or whatever, but they have them specifically now for marketing growth specialists and things of that sort. So I interviewed, did the whole thing, looked at their backgrounds. And then we went in-house about 3 months ago. This is all fresh and new. And we stopped all of our ads. Literally, we revamped every single thing, revamped myself, all of it. And I am so excited and happy. We are doing excellent. I had to revamp everything because we're going in different ways. So right now I'm like taking my distribution outlets into, you know, going into more distribution outlets. So I had to make sure that everything made sense. Now it's not just online that's pushing Hollywood Hair Bar. Now it's online. Now it's beauty supplies across the country. Now it's, you know, Walgreens. Now it's Amazon. Now it's Ulta Beauty. You know, those are the things that we're working on right now. So I wanted to make sure that my online marketing was not taking over my whole goddamn on business, because really your business should not be driven just by online marketing. And that's the reason why, like, I got into a situation, just to be honest. Like, you know, I have my face on, like, I'm the businesswoman of all businesswomen, and I am. But they tried to eat me alive, you know? And because of the fact that we made history together, I trusted them. And I learned my lesson. I'm not trusting anyone ever again but myself, because they will get you. You know,
they so what, will. What did they do? That
somebody
was,
gets
what did
greedy
they do that
at
was,
some point.
What did they do that was an issue?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked me that.
Thanks, Shadi.
Thank you. So basically, you know, marketing changed. And so because marketing changed, Facebook changed, all of that after the pandemic, and, you know, Facebook ads started to go up. So your customer acquisition went up, and basically customer acquisition means how much you pay for to acquire each customer. So how much you pay for that customer to purchase your product.
And it became harder because the data, you couldn't, they
exactly.
limited the amount of data that was.
Yes, so exactly. So now it's more expensive. Now you're just like going out there saying, it's her that she wants my product. Is it her? So it costs more. So basically they came up with a concept that was really a scam. And the concept, because they knew the era of online marketing was getting a little, you know, so they created a whole concept of how I feel that they were going to dip out of the whole world, you know, of online marketing, get their money out of it and all of that, out of their business, sell it, whatever the case is. So they came up with a concept that was like a TMZ type website, like a blog site. So this is something called advertorials. This is a new thing. You know, it's not new, but it's kind of like the next phase of where we're going with, you know, you have UGC as now it's advertorials. So an advertorial is like basically like a article, you know, like a TMZ article or something. Like, let's say you're writing up about this brand and this brand is amazing and this is what this brand does. And so that was now being marketed instead of my ads. So now we're hiding behind an advertorial, right? Secret to hair loss or something like that, let's say. Now you click that. Now that first click, because I'm spending my money, every click, I should be able to retarget. So retargeting means I can go back out in the internet world and I'm going to find you wherever I can to put my ad right back and back in front of you because I know that you're interested because you've already clicked. So you might not want it to purchase now, but maybe you'll purchase in a day or two. So that's the bread and butter of online marketing because you spend a lot of money to get a little bit. You know, so that's the other, what you call your fisher's net that you want to continue to catch your sales. So what they did was they created a way where that first click, I was not retargeting. They never told me that. Mm. They were retargeting it for their own brand that they came out with. So in a nutshell, they were stealing my traffic. And it happened for about a year and a half. And I spent a lot of money on this debacle concept that they came out with. And once it all hit the scene and hit the fan, oh, it hit the fan. You know, it hit the fan. It definitely hit the fan because I'm a nice girl, you know, but I'm at the same time, I'm a girl from Los Angeles, California, Killer Cali. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is my livelihood. This is my daughter. This is my future. This is my family. This is my life here. And it's not to be played with because you guys are greedy. You know what I'm saying? Even though you have all this money, you've done all these things. They have brands over here. I was not the only brand that I was the top brand. They were the top agency online. And I was their number one client. And I made them and they made me. And they got everybody on the pretense of what they did for me. I mean, they made it on the top 1,000 list. And I mean, I didn't make it on the top 1,000. I mean, I made it on Forbes, which was amazing. That was phenomenal. But they milked it. Mm. And I was working. You know what I mean? And so in a nutshell, I was so disheartened by the greed. Because you're always told this, you know? You see what happens to the basketball players. You see what happens to the stars. You see what happens. And this is my world. So I'm like, dumb Dora, how did you get played? You know, and you was paying $250 a month on top of them stealing your traffic and making your brand to where it was kind of hidden behind something. So in a nutshell, I was proud of myself. I fired them. That was the hardest thing I could have ever done in my life because they were my, you know, I resignated my success with them. You know, we created history together. And so that was a really hard thing. It's been a hard 2023. I'll say that. On top of all of the distribution outlets and everything that I'm doing and all the stores and all the things that we're doing. It's all these great, amazing things, but I had to get my foundation reset. And so I went through a valley this year, a really crazy valley, but I'm just super thankful of the team that I have now. And yeah, we cooking.
How much is the product?
Okay, so that's another thing. The product, we start off at $24.99. And then we go up from there. $48.99 is our next bottle size. We have an extra strength that's $48.99. And the wonderful thing is, you know, our women, honey, we spend money on our hair.
This is true.
And, you know, and that's the thing. Like, we always say, like, oh, we have to make it this price point for this demographic. And then we get, you know, products that are crappy products that are toxically hurting us. And I was able to say, no, my Black women, I know my women. Because I was that girl going to school, you know, in high school, I would save my lunch money to go to the beauty supply or the nail shop. You know what I mean? I would starve. I would save my little $10 every day in high school to go do what I needed to do for my little beauty thing. If I didn't want to ask my mom for, you know, nail money or whatever. So I knew they were going to buy it. So I wanted to make sure to price it in the way that they understood and respected it, knew that it was going to work. Because the normal price point for a hair growth serum that they're used to is $6.99. So $24.99 is a jump. And $48.99, that's like unheard of. But we've sold so many bottles because the women know that it's going to work. Mm. And even if they got to come back every 3 weeks and buy that little $24.99 bottle, they're coming back and they're buying it.
Yeah, you have high retention rates?
Yes. Oh, we have over 60% return customer rate, which is unheard of. The normal return customer rate is about 20%.
Triple.
Yes, exactly. Triple.
It's so, it's just one product?
That's what I was
gonna... I have a SKU list of like 41. So, but yes, we have our top sellers. Like we have a top 10, 12 that are hair care. But then I went into skincare and I went into bath and body. The reason why I really, really, you know, the other thing that I want to definitely share is that one of my passions is my women. And when I found out what other races are doing to the hair care products that are strategically marketed to us, made me sick to my stomach. You know, like Drano is in perms. Drano, like that's in the perm that we put on our hair as Black women. You know, for years and years, we've watched our mothers and our grandmothers perm their hair. And these things were strategically created for us. We are running around with fibroids, cancer, all kinds of crazy things from hair care products. And so I really wanted to come to the table with ingredients that work, that were all natural. So that's what we're all about, but still in a poppy, fashion, hot, you know, way. Yeah. Because normally all natural products, they're branded in brown and gold and they're boring and, you know, nothing's popping and got no swag to it. And so we were able to really bring something that was different. And, you know, the ability to bring something to the table for women that love what they're doing, I mean, love the product and love the fact that I'm behind it as a Black woman is really something that drives me every day.
So I got some of the products here.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I had to try them.
See, I was...
But I listed them. I listed them because I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
So you got the hair gummies.
Ooh, they're so yummy.
The hair growth oil.
Yes.
The hair growth balm.
Hair growth balm.
Which is different.
And it's the balm. It's yep.
The balm is the balm. And then you got the shampoo.
Yes.
And so when you're going into the expansion of new products, what are you looking... Are you just looking at the overall market and saying... This is something we can add. How do you go about that?
Yes, because I'm actually doing it right now. We're coming out with another line. And so basically in a nutshell, it's all about the results. Most people that do brands, they just want to do something that's cute. Like I said, they go to the manufacturer and they say, just give me some stuff. And they'll send you some stuff and you pick what you like. They don't send you a list of the ingredients. They don't send you, like, unless you probably have to ask. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of like backwards in my opinion, right? I want to come with things that really work. So we go back to the roots. We go back to Africa. We go back to India. Like, I really have Indian, like, I import something called a Shebe powder. That's our next collection. It's going to be called the Shebe Gold. Basically, we have a mask now, but we're going to expand the collection. And basically, Shebe is a grinded herb that comes from Sudan, Africa. The women of Chad are this tribe that's been around, of course, for hundreds of thousands of years, of course. And they have hair down to their thighs. And these women in Africa are running around with this hair this long. Who would ever know it in America? We don't even know our historical, like, traditions from Africa that are beauty regimens, you know, that have been around for so long. So it actually grows your hair and it fuses in your hair and it works wonderfully with braids and it puts your hair like in an infused state. So moisturized, and they have hair that they have on the tips of their hair that's from a little girl because it doesn't break. So I'm going into like the length retention. So now I taught you how to grow your hair, mm-hmm. right? And now I'm going to teach you how to retain the length and make sure that you can retain the length of the hair that you grow. Like an edge control that we have, that's our next bestseller. It basically is a growth edge control. You know, women wear, you know, we love our baby hair. We love to make sure that our style, you know, we're tamed and our edges are tamed and all of that. But to basically have an edge control that grows your hair and doesn't turn white and doesn't get, you know, flaky. I think that the women love the products because they know that they're well thought out. Mm-hmm. And most products are just put on the market, to be honest. They're not thought out. And even the ones that are, they're with a, you know, manufacturer that's just throwing any and everything in the product. So basically, in a nutshell.
You've said women a lot.
Yes, I love my women.
Can we talk about the Tiffany Rose collection?
Yes.
Because, you know, there are some guys who have lost their hair over time.
Yes.
That may want to have hair growth.
Yes. Okay, so we have so many men that purchase. So they're already purchasing, which is great. And they're running around with our pink labels and everything. And I feel so bad. But I am coming with the men's line. And men, honestly, I think that's going to blow even more than the women. Because there's more men with loss of hair than there are women, of course, you know? So the men with the beards, and look at you with your amazing beard. I mean, your beard is so thick and good, you know? Both of you.
Appreciate
it. We're over here with the beard guy and the beards too. You know, there's a lot of men that, you know, they get the beard and they change. They turn into like, ooh. So, you know, a lot of men want to grow their beards and their hair. So that is definitely coming as well. That's coming next too.
So you said that you have no plans on selling?
I have no plans on selling. I really am here for my women because I know as soon as I do, it's going to change.
Have you been approached?
Oh, yes. I've been approached from the second year into the business. They've been, you know, yes. And, you know, for me, this is about legacy. You know, my mother, she worked, my father worked so hard on the brand that they built and really instilling something in me. And I really want to give this to my daughter. My daughter, her name is Milan. She's just amazing. She's 15, entrepreneurial. You know, she's watched me go from a 2-bedroom apartment in West Hollywood to a mansion, you know, like with her own eyes. She helped me bottle the first bottles. You know, she knows that she's behind the concept. And so I want to have this to be something that she can continue for her legacy as well.
You spoke about Dame.
Yes.
And mentioned him as a mentor. It's interesting because when I was reading the story, I'm like, we have a pretty good relationship with him as well. And he's given us a lot of advice, especially when it comes to this space and media. At this point, at this level of your life, are you now that person for somebody else?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes, I am. And I want to give back even more. But I do have a few brands that like come to me, you know, young girls that are in this space. And I love to give advice. I love it. And I'd love to give advice, especially about what I've went through, because, you know, I was on a high for a very long time. I'm still on a high, but there was nothing that went wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was just, and I wasn't even dodging nothing. I was just on an up and up. And to have what happened to me recently over the last year and really find out, you know, what they were doing and everything really took me to a place that I was like, oh, no. I don't want this to happen to the next, because it reminds me, it's like we are the new celebrities, I guess, like in a form of money that can come from a person, you know. So you have a singer. OK, that's an industry. They go after the singers, you know, then they go after the ball players and they go. And so I'm like, wow. They really are going after Black brands that are popping to take advantage of them in a negative way with the online world of marketing. So that's something that I really want to share about, so the next girl that's on her rise can know the things to look out for and the things to, you know, make sure that she stays abreast on. Because I spoke and I continue to voice. I have a voice. But they continued to just do this. And I'm a woman, a Black woman, with all these men, you know, my whole team was men. And so it was like to a certain extent where they just didn't even listen to me anymore. I'm like, what is going on with my business, my brand? Why can't I say something and you guys do exactly what I want? Why are you doing everything that you want? So it was a point, like I said, where I lost it. And I want to help the next young girls, because this is just the beginning of online success, especially with us. It's just the beginning. So yes, that's definitely a passion of mine.
It's a competitive space. Exactly. You said that, and you said it's a dog-eat-dog type world.
Yes.
I wonder in this space, especially as a Black woman, when you see other brands, how supportive are each brands of each other as a business and on a personal level?
Whew, that's what you say. Okay, so I'm going to answer this question. So he has, so I'm going to answer. Me, I was in support of everyone. Because that's just who I am. I'm a loving person. I don't got no problem to be worried about what you're doing, because I'm too busy worrying about what I'm doing. Because I'm a creator and an innovator and like a for real, really, you know, person that comes from the industry I come from, I'm not really looking at anybody else, you know? A lot of these other women that have come into the space that I'm in really were hairstylists, you know, or people that were in the real world of just like, you know, the real daily grind of running their thing. So I feel like the competitiveness comes from a different place in a different space than what I come from. Because I know, like, I feel like I have no competition. And that's just what God told me, you know? And that's just how I feel. And that's not hating on no one else. I know that my product is amazing. My branding is phenomenal. I have no competition. And that's where I live. And the other girls, when I came in the game, I was like, who the hell is that? So it was just automatic, like hate, you know? And so I even work with, you know, it's a small industry, so everybody talks, you know? I've reached out to another really big one. And it was so interesting. She had just sold her business as well. And she had a huge brand. And no, it's not Miel. I love her. But basically, I reached out and we were communing, you know, on the DM. And I was like, you know, I really want you to be my mentor because I want to go into the same, you know, steps. And this was before I started selling. I was like, I just got with this big distributor. You were with them. And I want some, you know, some tips. She said, yeah, of course. As soon as I told her how much we had made, she stopped replying to me. I was like, oh my God, why? So when I started asking around, they said, because she hadn't made that much. Mm. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. You know? So it was like, I'm asking for advice, even though we thought maybe she had, you know, I'm asking for advice for people that have not even stepped into what I had stepped into yet, the way I stepped in, because everyone else has made it through different machines, which are distribution companies, big box stores, and all of that. No one has made it just through like direct to consumer, like what I did. Like I did all of this from my warehouse to that consumer's doorstep. And that was like unheard of. And that's why when we sit down in these meetings with, you know, the distributors and the stores, and they're just like baffled. Like, how did you do this? I'm like, my women, they carried me through, you know, it's difference. So I am not competitive with anyone, but there are so many people that hate on Hollywood Hair Bar. I mean, it got so bad to where, oh my God, on YouTube. Like there's even YouTube videos right now to this day. I mean, we've contacted YouTube. I'm like, how can I sue them? I've had lawyers. I mean, just the whole nine yards. Mm. They refused. But she was desperate. She went into desperate measures because I came a little bit right behind her. But she was hiring her influencers, her ambassadors, to do bash videos on my product, but being stupid enough to like put in the bottom, but I work for so-and-so. So, you know, if you purchase products on her website, she'll give you me a commission. You know, so it was a lot. It was even just like outside competitors from China that were sending bots and trolls and oh my gosh, because, you know, they run this industry. This is their industry. It's not ours. And over the last 10 years, we have worked to make it ours. And because of social media, us women can support each other with our products. And they do not want the Black woman to succeed in the world of the beauty industry because they feel like they own it. Hmm. That China owns it, Korea owns it, they own all the beauty supplies, they own, you know, that they are, a lot of them are behind the manufacturing of these product lines. Most of these products come directly from China. That's why they're filled with toxic chemicals. They have no rules. A lot of these products don't even have the ingredient that they put in it, you know, so it's all like a trick, it's a ploy. You know, even product brands that are named after Africa are coming from China that have nothing to do with anyone. You know, so a lot of trickery has gone on in our world because we're the biggest. We purchased beauty products 7 times more than any other race. So our beauty world is trillions of dollars. And so they have a piece of that. And so in a nutshell, I was getting it from all ends. Mm. But I was really able to buckle down. You know, I'm a child of the Most High God. So I was able to buckle down and just look forward and know God had me. And like, basically, God's my business partner. He tells me what I need to do. I'm very spiritual. And so I really just had to have tunnel vision. I couldn't look at anyone else because there was a lot going on that would have took me out for sure. I couldn't even watch YouTube. I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to watch anybody's YouTube review. I don't want to watch anybody's review. I just want to keep going forward. And then I look up and I'm like, oh my God, I have all these reviews and they love it. And they, you know, so I had to like turn off. And I learned that from, you know, being around celebrities and stars. And that's what they have to do. They have to turn off and just do their craft. And like Jill Scott would, you know, Jill Scott was one of my mom's clients as well. And she told my mom in the beginning, you know, I just put the music in their hand. I just put the music in the people's hand and I let the people, you know, and that's what was my concept. That's all I have to do. Can't sit up on the naysayers. But yeah, it's been hell for sure with the competitiveness. But I love all.
I feel your energy,
I'm a loving girl. You know, it's enough women out there for us all.
It's a fact. Well, we want to thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Yes. This has been amazing.
Let the people know the website.
Yes. HollywoodHairBar.com, Hollywood Hair Bar, all on social media. And my social media is Style by Tiffany Rose.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.